Hello and welcome back to the Elixir of Life, a Harry Potter podcast, where overanalyzing the wizarding world is our life. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by my sister and co-host, Lauren.
What up?
And as a special treat, our producer, Camilla.
I know that you're particularly happy for me to be here, Alex.
You.
Whoa.
We're already the bleeping.
Lauren can just cut it. Like, she can in post take and make it sound like I was like, Camilla, welcome. I love you.
Camilla, it's great to have you. We appreciate you.
Thank you for all your hard work and everything you've done to make my life easier.
I love fixing everything you guys do wrong. So perfect.
Lauren, how can I give you notes for improvement if I'm not giving you tasks to do?
That's a really good point. I appreciate it. I always like constructive, harsh criticism.
This is how we grow.
Right. And of course, I'm always open to hear your guys' constructive compliments.
Right.
Oh. Boo!
So, oh, wow. Ah! Oh, so this is kind of a special episode.
Because it's a spooky episode.
It's Halloween time.
Halloween time.
Alex, do you remember what we did last year for Halloween on the podcast?
We did ghosts.
What a good idea.
Super spooky.
Yeah.
But this year we're going to be a little bit more on the nose.
True.
And more specifically, Harry Potter and the Halloweens at Hogwarts.
Halloween at Hogwarts. Ooh, you got to love that alliteration.
Listen, you guys know that I'm a huge fan of magical holidays and fun stuff. And I actually think that the Halloweens at Hogwarts rival the Christmases at Hogwarts for just magical amazingness.
Yeah. I mean, and they really should be leaning into it. Like, they're spooky witches and wizards, so.
I agree completely.
Here's the thing. So we're going to be talking about specifically Harry's Halloween at Hogwarts, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Harry Halloween. Yeah.
Harry's Hogwarts Halloweens. Nailed it.
Oh, wow. See, but Harry's Christmases at Hogwarts are usually pretty great and fun, mm-hmm. and amazing things happen. Like, he gets his invisibility cloak and his broomstick. But all of Harry Potter's Halloweens are pretty horrible, actually.
No, you are completely right. This is definitely just Halloweens in general, not Harry's Halloweens.
Yeah. I mean, some good things did come out of his Halloweens, but...
Well, and I also think his Halloweens are very on brand for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. But it's a mixed bag at best.
That right. could be the title of his autobiography. A mixed bag at best.
You could write that, Rita.
Do you mind if I use a quick quotes quill?
So, before we talk about specifics of each year, what's something that's always at every Halloween, like some things that are always at every Halloween feast?
Big, giant pumpkins.
Jack-o'-lanterns floating above all the tables, lit from inside.
Yes. Aren't there swarms of bats?
Yep.
Yeah, live bats flying around.
Mm-hmm. It sounds amazing.
Here's my question. My favorite thing about carving pumpkins is roasting the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think those pumpkins make a lot of regular-sized seeds or a normal amount of a really, really big pumpkin seed?
I would guess that because they're magically enhanced, they'd be really, really big seeds.
Mm-hmm. I've thought so, too. I don't like that. What am I going to do with a gigantic, rotting jack-o'-lantern?
Yeah, are they repurposing these? Because I know that they're not as big into like pumpkin pie or things like that. Or are they?
Well, they eat more pumpkins than maybe us Americans do. They have pumpkin juice and pumpkin pasties. They're pumpkin people.
I guess the wizarding world is. I was for some reason thinking of more like just the UK, which I don't feel like is as obsessed with pumpkin stuff.
No.
Or am I wrong?
Hagrid would mulch that stuff. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
That's true. And he probably could feed it to some creatures as well.
Probably his mm-hmm. flesh-eating slug horde.
Mm-hmm. No, he kills those.
No, he repels them. Thank you.
Oh,
this episode will be an examination of the sustainability practices during Halloween at Hogwarts. So buckle up.
That's 10 years down the line when we run out of ideas.
Start doing like sustainability evaluations.
Yeah.
It's our once a month sustainability evaluation.
This year we're doing the greenhouses.
What grade do they get?
You know how much our listeners like multi-parts? We can audit each greenhouse.
Yeah, greenhouse 3 with those mandrakes doesn't do as well as greenhouse 2 that has like less difficult plants, you know. Mm-hmm.
You'd have to examine like what kind of air circulation system they're running and where they're sourcing their fertilizer.
Probably dragons. Right. They love to take advantage of dragons, as we discussed.
Well, are they shipping the dragon fertilizer from overseas?
You have to take dragon wings and grind them up. But it only works if the dragon's still alive when you do it. And that's how you get air circulation in a magical greenhouse.
Don't forget about all the dragon blood used as oven cleaner in the kitchens.
Exactly.
You need barrels and barrels of that sweet, sweet dragon blood nectar to clean the ovens.
Yeah, you couldn't use a spell for that.
Right, especially not house elves. Not them.
No, they don't know how to clean.
Mm-mm.
So, I do seem to remember some kind of big event happening at the end of the feast in the first book.
Wait, was it the end of the feast, or was it the end of the feast because it ended the feast?
Yeah, it maybe it was in the middle of the feast. Okay.
Who wants to act this out?
Camilla, you're the guest.
Oh, I get to act it out?
If you want.
Okay, imagine this. You're in the middle of eating a delicious pudding. I mean, it's British, so it's probably just okay. Just kidding. Lauren, cut that out, Lauren.
Well, I mean, we Americans know how to make a dessert. Don't. Let's not sugarcoat this. Only we will because we're Americans.
You're in the middle of eating a delicious pudding. Suddenly, the doors to the Great Hall burst open, and inside runs Quirrell. Freaking
out. Who's Quirrell, Precious?
Quirrell, the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Harry's first. Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Oh, Harry's first. Tell me more about this Quirrell.
So Quirrell runs in, and he screams, "Troll in the dungeons!" And then he's like, "Thought you ought to know," and passes out cold. Chaos ensues.
Yes.
Give me my Oscar now.
This is a podcast. When a podcast win Emmys, Golden Globes, Nobel Peace Prizes? I don't know.
There are awards for them, aren't they?
Yeah, there are.
Is it Streamies or no?
I don't know. Potties?
I'm not going to keep derailing this. Sorry.
It's the potties. Camilla, you're a natural born storyteller.
The potties. I mean, there's definitely a potty, but I think there's a legitimate like thing that like.
So it's not called the Streamies? I think there's an award called the Streamies, but it might be for something else.
YouTube?
I don't know.
Twitch?
Maybe. Okay, so here's my question. Am I as good of an actor as Quirrell was in that scene?
Well, no.
He was definitely acting.
He's amazing, though. Like, he fooled everybody.
Fainting out cold? That's not easy.
No.
I really, if someone's fainting, I already don't believe them because nobody faints unless they're ill.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, who faints from... I mean, obviously, there's shock. Shock's a real thing. And that could make someone pass out.
Fine, you're right, Lauren. I'm just... J.K. Rowling made me ableist like this.
So, I actually think we need to rewind a little bit.
Okay.
Because earlier in the day, Halloween Day, 1991, I guess?
Good year.
Professor Flitwick was teaching a very, very monumental lesson to... the first year of Gryffindors.
That is true, and this definitely comes into play.
Yeah, it's a Wingardium Leviosa, that lesson, and Hermione's being a real know-it-all. Where I come from, they call that a Lauren.
A know-it-all, or just being good at the lesson?
Right.
Depends on if you're female or male.
Oh.
Exactly.
Well, she's female, so yes, an insufferable know-it-all.
Yes,
got it.
Bossy.
Yes.
Yes.
And she corrects them, and then Ron says something rude to her. Do you remember what he says?
No wonder she hasn't got any friends.
Yes.
That's at the end of the lesson, right? Yeah.
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 And she's like,
she overhears
off
it.
Crying in the bathroom during all this. Yeah. She doesn't even see Quirrell's acting. Like, she couldn't give us an opinion on whether or not he's a good actor.
No.
Right. Also, it's really rich that one Halloween, Hermione's over here crying in the bathroom because someone made her cry, and then Not even one Halloween later, she is over here making fun or belittling Moaning Myrtle for crying in the bathroom. Thank you, Hermione. Hypocrite much?
That's a really good point.
She can be a little bit harsh on people. That is true. Yeah.
Well, it's justified when she does it.
Okay, back to our main scene. Professor Quirrell's just passed out cold.
Chaos has ensued.
In his turban. Offensive.
Yes. Everybody's running about. Dumbledore has to call order, and he instructs everyone back to their dormitories.
They have to follow their prefects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Percy, in this case, for Harry and Ron.
Speaking of derailing, do you think Quirrell used some sort of toupee glue for his turban, just in case when he pretends to faint, it doesn't fly off and reveal his master's face?
I mean, did he also faint without, like, hurting Voldemort's face?
Right. This is a little known fact. One of the 12 uses of dragon's blood is toupee glue.
Oh.
Thanks for that pity laugh. Ooh, wow.
I'm just sad because of all the dragon's blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the joke.
So, Quirrell faints somehow without squashing Voldemort's face or disturbing his turban.
I think he claps his hand down on top of his turban before he fake faints. And then he faints forward and he tucks.
Tucks his other arm.
Listeners are really missing out on the visual that's accompanying what Alex is saying.
Mm-hmm. You clap your right hand down on your turban so it doesn't pop off and reveal Voldemort's face. You tuck your nose and mouth into your elbow. So you don't break your nose. It's inconvenient. It hurts. It takes a long time to heal. And then everyone thinks that you're fainted, but you don't have to get hurt at all.
And the elbow also masks your giggles of, you know, tricking everyone.
Yeah. We will include a diagram of how to faint without injuring yourself.
Or revealing the Dark Lord sticking out of the back of your head.
Just in case.
Okay, guys, let's focus up, okay? Back to Harry and Ron.
Lauren, just edit this. Just fix it in post. Make it interesting in post.
So they're running up towards the dormitories when they have a horrible realization.
Hermione's not with the group. She's alone.
Wait, I have more questions about this. Why the dungeon? Why? I would feel like that would be a hard place to get to. Because there's the one entrance that we know of.
I believe I actually wrote this in his listener mail, which was never answered, by the way. Oh. Thanks a lot. I was curious about if the troll being in the dungeon and they're all supposed to go to their dormitories, wouldn't that be dangerous for the Slytherins having to head down that way to their dormitories?
Also the Hufflepuffs, right. Don't they go downstairs too?
They go
too?
Down as well.
I think the whole... I don't know. There wasn't time to critically analyze, I think, in that moment for everyone. But the troll is in the dungeon because it's a diversion because Quirrell wants to go up to the third floor corridor.
Right.
I get it. But Dumbledore would be like, in the dungeon? Really? Yeah,
but wouldn't Dumbledore be like, I'm not sending all those students down there?
Well, here's what you need to realize is they have a fifth year prefect to protect them. So they're totally fine. Don't worry.
True.
Dumbledore,
I mean, I think that Dumbledore was
safety.
I think he was on to Quirrell. I mean, he was like suspicious of him, but he just didn't know his, you know, full motives, maybe.
Yeah. He didn't know his total deal, is what they say.
Mm-hmm. End game.
He probably took the troll in a boat, like the ones that Hagrid uses with the first years, took him to that underground dock that we see that one time, sneaks the troll down to the dungeons.
That's a good point. And I'm just realizing now we should have put a major spoiler warning at the beginning of this because we're giving away the whole plot of book one.
True.
And most people haven't read it yet. It only came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's a very new release. Very obscure book.
I mean, in geologic time.
True.
Did you guys know they made it into a movie?
Really?
Yeah. Is it out yet?
I bet it was really good.
It actually was really good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I like the first movie a lot.
Anyway, so this is a monumental point in Harry. I'm going to stop nitpicking because I had a lot of questions, but this was a monumental turning point in Harry, Ron, and Hermione's lives.
Yeah. I mean, is this their first near-death experience?
Well, it's not Harry's.
Not Harry's,
but, like his first fully conscious one.
Yeah. Definitely Ron's never been in any real danger before.
Probably not Hermione.
Probably not. So, Camilla, you were saying that, or one of you was saying that Ron and Harry had a horrible realization.
Yeah, they've realized that Hermione is crying in the bathroom, which is their fault, and mm-hmm. that she doesn't know about the troll.
It's Ron's fault.
There's only one thing to do. Run and find her.
Go to there ourselves.
Yeah. We're the only ones who can solve this, even though we know one spell. It may or may not come in handy. Who knows?
And they're not good at it. We know that. Because they'd rather make fun of someone who is good at it than be good at it.
Yep.
This reminds me. And once again, it's a derail. You know how there's those like terrible, dumb, like Pinterest / Target shirts about like wine or coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just one of those that I really appreciate.
Okay.
It's the mimosa one where it's like, it's mimosa. Or anything to do with Wingardium Mimosa. I really like that.
Do you guys follow Strange Planet?
No.
It's like the aliens doing regular human I've stuff. I've seen it. They shared this Live, Laugh, Love poster that was like, survive, chuckle, show affection. And I really enjoyed that one. But other than that, yeah, I hate those things.
Survive, chuckle, show affection. Those are pretty funny. Alex, if you haven't seen them, you should check them out.
They're really funny.
I have, now that you describe them. I definitely have.
Anyways, so of course, these two 11-year-olds go off to save Hermione, who they've, through their cruelty, put in a position to be in danger.
Mostly Ron's.
Through her female weakness, she's endangered all of her soon-to-be friends. Got it.
Oh.
Sorry, the truth offends you.
But the bathroom she's in is on the first floor, or right, where is it? It's not in the dungeon.
No. No, so, the troll comes up.
And they're like, oh, we have a chance to...
Yeah, somehow it comes up from the dungeon, which we only know of 1 to 2 ways down there.
Yeah. And it goes into the girls' bathroom?
He's in the hallway, and they... No, he does. He wanders into the girls' bathroom. Do you think he could smell Hermione?
And then they manage to lock the bathroom from the outside.
Yeah, that is weird that the bathroom door locks from the outside, because why would they allow a student's bathroom to lock from the outside? That is definitely a recipe for disaster.
It's like a prison cell.
Also, prank heaven.
Yeah. Was there a key in the lock, or did they spell it?
I feel like there was a key in the lock, because they grabbed the door, shut it, and turned the key in the lock.
Turned the key in the lock. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I guess ancient castles don't have to pass fire codes, so whatever.
Right. And if you ask a contractor to build a bunch of rooms that lock from the outside, they're going to be like, no, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Totally
cool. If you have a castle.
If you are building a castle that is intended as a school for children, definitely have locks on the outside of all the public rooms.
And that's a very important point, because it's not like this was a castle that a king lived in and then it was converted into a school. This was built as a school. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, what the heck?
Totally. So Harry and Ron quickly have their second major realization for the night.
Similar to me, they did not read the sign next to the bathroom.
Yes.
And it was a bathroom.
The very same one that Hermione was in.
Right.
Awful luck.
So they burst in and they save the day, obviously. It's what they do.
Because Hermione, you know how Hermione is. She doesn't know any magic. She's cowering.
Mm-hmm.
She's cowering.
In the bathroom.
She hasn't come into herself totally yet.
No, I think she froze. You know, it was her first time and she froze. But that is
the
last time.
Well, actually, Camilla and Lauren, Hermione's famously bad in certain emergencies.
Under pressure, yeah.
That is
under
true.
Under pressure.
That is true.
That's true. You know, they use Wingardium Leviosa, they stick wands up noses, and the important thing is from that time forward, Hermione and Harry and Ron are friends, except when they aren't.
The trio is born. Mm-hmm. Forged.
Yes. Because there are some things you can go through and not be friends afterwards.
Unlike Harry's experience with Ginny in the next book, where he just completely ignores her afterwards.
Drops her completely.
Right. That's not one of those time.
Exactly.
They won a good chunk of points for Gryffindor, which is the most important thing.
And mm-hmm. Hermione lied to a teacher for them. So that True. Basically shows mm-hmm. them that they can get away with a lot with her. So.
Yeah. And Hermione lost points. Thanks a lot, idiot.
So that's pretty monumental. And I think that we should always remember to thank Lord Voldemort for bringing our trio of friends together.
That's true.
If it weren't for Voldemort, we wouldn't have the Harry Potter series. So thank you, Lord Voldemort.
Today's podcast sponsored by Lord Voldemort.
And Death Eaters like you. All right. Should we move on to the next Halloween?
Yes we better.
This one, I have intriguing questions for you guys regarding.
We'll see.
They're not intriguing.
Alex, you take us through this one.
Me again? Okay.
What do you mean, you again? We made Camilla do it.
Oh, am I supposed to act this out? I don't know how to do that.
No, just take us through. Just give us the high points.
Can you imagine acting out that boring conversation between Nick and Harry? Just like him being down in the dumps and like... Anyways.
Well, there is a... Lauren brought this up in our last Halloween episode. Nick, nearly headless Nick, has a ghost's letter, which raises a lot of questions.
Is this like a physical letter?
Well, it's semi-transparent. It's like made of ghost things like he is. Like his clothes are.
I do not remember bringing this up.
Do they have ghost owls?
Well, do they have ghost paper? What, like, where do ghost things come from? It's kind of the question of, like, why aren't ghosts fully naked? And
I guess that's true.
So if the Headless Hunt didn't already have this letter on their person when they died, where did they get this letter to write to Nick? Is my confusion coming across to what I'm asking you?
Absolutely. I have no idea. I don't think there are answers to it because I think she just didn't think about it.
Are ghosts real? Are Harry Potter's real? I need to know.
Alex, if you draw a chalk pentagram and you believe hard enough, mm-hmm. you will find out.
And this is the exact reason I'm organizing a book burning for Harry Potter books.
You sound like you are a publisher's dream because that means you're buying books to burn them. So congratulations.
True. Yeah, I'm going to have to replace all my Harry Potter books after I burn them. That's for sure.
That is the worst part. Okay, so what's contained in the letter prompts Nick to invite Harry to his death day party.
To somehow be impressive to his dead friends.
Yeah, who are going to be impressed by some flash in the pan, fly-by-night famous boy from the mortal world.
The boy who lived totally would impact the ghost world.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know how much ghosts care about living.
Yeah. I mean, my question is it about Harry or is it just about having a student there who's living who's going to say he's scary to them?
Oh.
That's a good question.
Oh, also, Nick changes his ruff because Harry will be like, oh, Nick's wearing an extra festive ruff. Where does Nick store his spare ghost ruffs?
Why is it that Harry doesn't notice, like, Ginny's birthday or, like, you know, huge, gigantic things, but he notices Nick's new ruff?
He's a weird boy.
He's into fashion. Leave him alone.
He has an eye for fashion.
That is an extra festive ruff, Nick.
So I think the real tragedy of this night is that they didn't go to the feast.
I agree.
Listen, you're only at Hogwarts for so many years. You only get so many feasts. You should not be missing any of them.
I mean, I agree, but this death day party is Halloween at its best. I mean, you've got tons of ghosts. You've got, like, rotting food and, like, really weird, spooky, like, music, mm-hmm. nails on the chalkboard style.
A whole orchestra of just musical saws. Just very...
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that some very intense Harry Potter fans have tried to do that.
For sure. Ugh. We should do that. I do actually really appreciate the fact that there is a tombstone death day cake that gives us a concrete date and time for when this is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, here's what I'm annoyed about. Not annoyed about. Here's the sad thing. No, I'm not sad about it. Why isn't Harry like, you know, it's weird, Nick. You have the exact same death day as both my parents.
Does Harry know?
I don't know.
I don't think anyone ever is like, here is when your mom and dad's birthday is. Here's when they died. He doesn't find that stuff out until he goes to their graves.
No, because he says, because Hagrid says, like, they came to your house on Halloween when you were all sleeping or something.
Does he? I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't remember that.
Me neither. Camilla, did you hang up?
No.
So after the trio spends mm-hmm. some amount of time freezing, getting grossed out by food, listening to bad music, and insulting being caught in between
Moni
interpersonal and getting caught into ghost interpersonal drama,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
leave without eating.
And then a very Halloween thing happens.
No. They're going to go try and catch the pudding at the end of the feast. But Harry has to hear a disembodied voice. He is
saying
so
that he wants to rip and kill people.
Rip, tear, kill. That's a book I'd read by that one lady who who wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
It's Elizabeth like the basilisk life manual.
Wait, what was her name, Lauren?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Let me try that again. Rip, tear, kill. Now that's a book I'd read by Elizabeth Gilbert. There we go.
Nailed it.
Got it. Fix it in post.
This is like one of those moments in the Harry Potter books where it's like certain things are just like, duh, obviously that's possible with magic. And then certain things are like clearly like, no, that's crazy. Like, of course divinations is a farce.
Yep.
Yeah, you shouldn't be hearing voices in your head, Harry. What do you think we have, magic?
Hermione's a big perpetrator of this. She will definitely believe a lot of stuff that the explanation is just magic, but then completely disbelieve other things. Like, Harry, you're imagining things. There's no voice. And there's no possible way for you to be hearing a voice if I'm not.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We can read minds. We can disappear from place to place. Like, portraits can talk to us. It's fine. But you cannot hear a voice in your head. That's cuckoo.
A voice? I'm not hearing it. Cuckoo.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I would just like to point out that Tom Riddle carried on a rich wizarding tradition of being a complete and total drama queen because, of course, he has to open the Chamber of Secrets on Halloween. No, mm-hmm. not in the middle of the night when everyone's sleeping. Like, it has to be on Halloween because that's the spookiest time.
Well, plus he had to get that cat.
Yeah. He's obsessed with, like, tradition and ambiance.
He's probably like, mm-hmm. this will give me more validity if I do it on Halloween.
Right. Also, none of the Weasleys noticed that Ginny wasn't at the Halloween feast. They really dropped the ball.
They're selfish and self-centered, obviously.
I guess, but you'd think at least nosy-ass Percy would be like, where's Ginny? Is she breaking rules?
He's nosy, but he's also more self-important than he is nosy. He was too busy, like, looking for someone breaking the rules than to care about his sister.
The twins are probably the most likely ones to have noticed, but they probably had a lot of, like, excitement going on.
You know, there's a fan fiction in that. I bet they were busy, like, planning a prank on Percy and, like, perpetrating mm-hmm. it. So that's why Percy didn't notice, and that's why they didn't notice. Fan fiction
Fair
idea.
Fair enough.
For anyone to use, just send me a link.
So that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that Parseltongue's weaponized against Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is really the beginning of the whole sinister plot in the book.
Yep.
So.
The reopening of the Chamber of Secrets on Halloween. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that sound effect wasn't appropriate for Halloween. Dun, dun, dun. okay. Year three.
Year three, they finally get to that Halloween pudding.
About damned time.
I was starting to think it was cursed.
I do wish there were even more descriptions of the food they ate in Harry Potter.
Here's
of course
the
I
real
do.
Cursed pudding. The 12-pack of snack packs at Smith's is only like $3.14. Now that's a pudding curse because I love a pudding.
You know what?
What?
That's a pretty low cost per snack cup, and that makes me wonder if that is the solution to my problems. 600 kids come to my neighborhood for Halloween, and I've been looking for a really high impact Halloween thing that would also be kind of cheap.
Ooh, and that's fun because it'll be really heavy for them to carry around. Dumb kids.
It's kind of novel, but it's like, it's kind of a novelty thing, mm-hmm. and that's pretty cheap.
I bet you can get them at big box store, sister.
That's a good idea.
I have the best idea. I just thought of it. pudding curse.
I'm writing snack packs on this outline so I don't forget.
I hope you're editing the outline that we all see and use.
Believe me, I am.
I know it might be tempting to go for chocolate, but if they have chocolate vanilla, the vanilla is also a great pudding.
You know, the only snack pack I actually like to eat is the tapioca pudding.
You are such a sicko. I don't even like you, and I'm hanging up.
I don't like any puddings, but I do like to put chocolate pudding into cake mixes to make them better. That's it.
Wait, can you put pudding mix into cake mix? Because I'm too lazy to make pudding.
You can put pudding mix into cake mix, but what I do is I literally get a chocolate snack pack, a single one, scoop it into the batter of a chocolate cake, bake it, and then when it's done, you poke holes in the top of the fork and pour the frosting over the top, and it goes down into it, and it's kind of chocolate lava cake-ish.
Dang.
Oh, delicious. What were we talking about?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is a food podcast now. A prepared
this
snack
podcast. Is a lot of things.
All right. Oh, Prisoner of Azkaban, Halloween.
For those who don't get to hear the unedited version, we just talked about snack packs for like 2 hours.
The pudding kind, not like the dippy cheese kind.
Yeah. Also, very confusing.
No, are those handy snacks?
Handy snacks. Those are handy snacks, but still snack. It's confusing. So anyways, so they finally get to experience an entire Halloween feast without things going wrong. And in actuality, no one was ever in danger this Halloween.
True.
So they head upstairs. The Gryffindors get to their common room. They get to the portrait hole, and the quote unquote fat lady is not letting them in.
Fat woman.
Well, I wish she had a character name.
There's a very dramatic scene waiting for them.
Yes.
Right.
Sirius Black has come to try to kill Harry, supposedly.
And when the fat woman wouldn't let him in, he slashed her. He slashed her with a knife right in her canvas.
Overreaction much? Serious?
Can that be explained? Because that's actually quite cruel of him. Or was he just being a jerk?
I think he's pretty desperate. Like, he's trying to commit a murder.
I guess that's true.
He tried to reason with her.
He tried to reason with her first. It's fine.
She deserved it. She was being bossy.
Oh my god, why didn't she just leave and let him slice that canvas open? I want to know why it's so easy to get past that painting. You slice it open and you're in?
I don't think he didn't get in.
He didn't get in, right? He just had to run off?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just mad? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, screw
I mean, he was either just mad or he thought maybe he could get in, but I kind of doubt that.
I think he was just mad.
Yeah, it seems very right. Vindictive.
Here's the thing. Sirius, next time you do this, I have a better plan. Stake out a wizarding household and figure out who's going to be gone on Halloween. Then, when they leave and everyone's at the Halloween feast, use the flu network, which we know, apparently, there's no...
There's no security
rules. There's no security on it because you use it later on. Just go in through the fire to kill your rat.
Is it possible? Is it? Oh, no, it's not. I was just going to say, is it possible that Dumbledore had allowed that fire to connect because that was a trusted source? But he actually connected to that earlier from a random muggle's house.
Yep.
Like in a book earlier. So, yeah, that's weird.
Right. I mean, it is possible that with the high security surrounding Hogwarts at this time and that they thought Harry was the target, they could have been watching the fire. And then they loosen security before book four when he uses it to talk to Harry about dragons.
And I'd like to point out, in true wizard fashion, Sirius waits for Halloween to be dramatic.
Totally.
I thought he wanted some of the Christmas pudding or the Halloween pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just there hoping somehow.
He'd kill Pettigrew and then they'd be like, oh, you're such and a hero. Have some spotted dick.
Stop down at the kitchens and...
Yeah.
What if all this time we thought that they meant British pudding as in dessert, but really it was just stacked sky high
snack
with
packs.
Snack packs.
They literally import it from the US and it's just
but they're
like
not even
appears.
Chilled.
No, they're just warm. They're just warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your pudding, children.
That would make the books really great. Like, even better than they are.
And all the food is like banquet, microwave dinner quality.
It's literally just like lunchroom food.
And Harry's
from
like,
elementary.
This is the best food I've ever had because
he doesn't know better.
Didn't feed me.
There's like, there's literally like pizza day and like shrimp poppers day. And
they have those chicken sandwiches.
With yeah.
Okay, so
Sloppy
here's the
Joe's.
Thing. Here's the thing about this Halloween. They got to eat their full feast. They got pudding. No one was ever in danger. And then they get to finish the whole thing up with a really cool,
a huge, exciting thing.
Entire school sleepover in puffy purple sleeping bags.
And
yes,
over here, some like gossip about the search for Sirius Black.
Yeah.
Yes. Why was that little boy, Percy, why was he in charge of staying up all night? Why wasn't he sleeping?
Probably because Dumbledore knew that he'd take it way seriously and stay up all night.
They probably told him to go to bed and he was like, no, 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 no. I am a prefect.
I'm a prefect. I insist.
I was going to say, it seems like either Percy got a lot of the prefect's powers stripped, or Percy was really overstepping his authority. And I'm inclined to believe the latter.
You know what? Actually, he was head boy in this year. I just remembered.
Oh.
Big head boy. So overall, like a great Halloween, unless you're Sirius Black.
True.
Yeah.
Or the fat lady. Or the fat lady.
She had it coming.
She just went to hang out with her friend and drink.
Yeah. And it was a great Halloween for Sir Cadogan, who got an upgrade.
Totally.
I wish he could have stayed.
Yeah, he's totally not annoying.
She's annoying, too.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. So year four, to cap off the tradition of everything horrible happening to Harry on Halloween, he gets chosen to be the fourth Tri-Wizard Champion.
Quad Wizard Champion. That's right.
Number four.
Yeah, I think this is a very fun Halloween for everyone, but not Harry.
Right. Drama, a wizard's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, my favorite.
I think that Cedric was probably a little bit put out, even though he doesn't
really show it.
That's
true.
And Dumbledore was obviously pretty put out. Plus,
and
the
McGonagall
feast wasn't as much fun.
No, Dumbledore was very calm about it, Lauren.
He was calm but put out.
McGonagall was very, very upset.
Yeah.
Fleur, Karkaroff, Madame Maxime, they were pissed.
Yeah.
Crumb was probably upset as well.
And the real bad thing about this Halloween is that they had a feast the night before, so everyone was already like full. It's like, everyone, that's the universal experience that everyone has when you go on a week-long cruise, and like by like the third day, you're like, oh, I can't eat another buffet, you know?
I've had so many feasts lately that I don't even look forward to this feast.
Exactly.
You will not fit into your dress robes.
Yeah.
That accent, by the way, was brought to you by me. It was very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, almost as good as Alex's accents, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm a world famous voice actor.
So pretty good.
And another thing I don't like about this Halloween, guys, is that it was totally overshadowed by this whole cup business.
I agree.
Goblet business.
Yeah. Were there even the jack-o'-lanterns? Who knows?
Yeah.
I feel like, did they mention that? Like, as part of the whole, I think they mentioned maybe that the Durmstrang students were like excited about the decorations.
Yeah. I think so.
Like looking around curiously and stuff.
Yeah.
That might have been Christmas.
That might have been
both.
It's hard to know.
It might have been both.
There's no way for us to know for sure, you guys.
Yeah. It's not like I just read that last week.
I just listened to it.
This is why we have to reread them and re-listen to them, is because the details just like kind of slip away.
Or combine into other books. Or...
Yes.
It's really a task. I hate reading Harry Potter.
So hard.
It's not the one thing that you've done every day in your life for the last like 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not like the most Halloween-centric Halloween.
No. But at least they did add extra drama to it by planning the start of the tournament for Halloween.
That's true. And it carried on a lot of traditions. So I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is the point where the series kind of takes a turn, takes a shift, where she kind of stops talking about Halloween in the books.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
We don't get to experience a Halloween again.
She really ruined this podcast episode by doing that.
How
to
do
us.
We know, like, how Hagrid's pumpkins are doing? We just don't.
I mean, I guess we've got to assume that he's just taking care of business.
I guess so.
Okay, guys, do you have anything else to say about Halloween at Hogwarts?
I do, actually.
Oh, well, hit us with it.
All right. So Halloween and Harry Potter kind of go together for me for a lot of reasons. I think that like people often dress up as Harry Potter characters on Halloween, so mm-hmm. you always think about it for that reason. But thinking about the reverse, I don't ever hear about any of the Hogwarts students dressing up for Halloween.
You're right.
And I was like, is that more of an American thing than like a British thing? I think that they dress up as well. So is it just like not allowed at Hogwarts? Or I don't know. It seems like the twins would want to do something crazy for their Halloween costumes.
Right. Maybe it's not allowed because they have to be in uniform.
Maybe.
Maybe they can dress up, but there's like too many restrictive rules like there is at my kid's school. No face painting, no masks, no fake weapons.
Maybe.
And so they're like, why bother?
No, I bet you're not even allowed to take real weapons.
I don't know. Is dressing up just like not a thing at Hogwarts?
You know what I was told recently? And I don't know if it's true. And if we have some listeners, and I think that we do, in Australia, you can set me straight, is that Australians don't really celebrate Halloween.
Really?
Do you know if that is true?
Do you know why?
No. It's just a thing that someone told me that I didn't verify that now I'm repeating.
I do think that like our current tradition of trick-or-treating is maybe not that old. Mm-hmm. So maybe it hasn't gone around the whole globe. But listeners, you should let us know.
I see your downloads down under. Oh no, they're not going to listen now.
Leanne Moriarty's great.
Yeah, go Kangaroos.
Wait, I have a good one. If you say Ensa, E-E-N-S-A-H, the, fine, F-I-N-E, you sound just like an authentic Australian.
Let's hear it.
Ensa the fine.
Oh, wow.
What is that?
I hear it.
Answer the phone.
Answer their phone.
Say it again.
Ensa the fine.
Oh.
Authentic Australian. I actually think it maybe is slightly more Kiwi, but not authentic either way.
But, I'm bad at accents, but I think I would like to hear not just from Australians, but from people all over the world. What are your Halloween traditions?
Mm-hmm. What are your Halloween traditions?
And do you dress up as Harry Potter characters?
Do you have any Australian stereotypes that you'd like to share with us? That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Do you have like a specific request for an entire Australian assumptions podcast? Because we've got mm-hmm. them all, apparently.
All I know about Australians is they love shrimp. They love Mattel Barbies.
You know, actually, what's weird about that is the shrimp on the Barbie thing.
Uh-huh.
Never mind. They call them prawns. That's all I was going to say.
Oh, and they want to throw another prawn on the fashion doll.
Yes.
Camilla, do you have a muggle moment to share with us?
You know, I do have a muggle moment to share, and this one is pretty heartfelt. My muggle moment is my dog, Darwin. So, for those that don't know, I have the best pet in the world. There are other great pets out there. You know, there are some top-notch cats and a really great dog named Penny. Mm. But Darwin, he's the best, in my opinion. He's a 10-year-old golden retriever poodle mix. He's about 80 pounds, really fluffy, super friendly, and he's getting older. He's slowing down. I was just thinking about him today, and honestly, this is so cliche, but I was just thinking about how he's like been our best friend. He's just been the best. He's always been there. He's always like there to lay on your feet. He's there to like pick up food when you drop it, to lick some ketchup spills up. He's hilarious. And I don't know. I was just thinking about pet ownership and how much I'm don't put this part in. I'm just gonna miss him. That's what I was thinking about today. But
why can't that part be put in?
I don't know. Maybe it's too morbid, but
are you putting him down?
No. I mean, he's a golden retriever, which means he's starting to grow like cysts and tumors on his body and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like a downhill slope from here. And I don't know, it's just been weird. He's been
I think you can leave this in.
I think so too.
Okay. Fine.
He's been part of my life since I became an adult, and it's just really hard to imagine my life without him. But yeah, I was just thinking today about how he's been such a good dog, and you know, he's the best.
Well, that's awesome, because that's, if Darwin could talk, he would want you to say that, you know, like if he could have that thought, he'd be like, I fulfilled my life purpose.
Do you think that you'll get another dog later on?
You know, this is why I was actually thinking about it. Jacob and I, my husband, we were talking about it, and I don't think I will, at least not for a long time. I don't want another dog because it won't be Darwin. And I don't know. He's been the perfect dog, and it just doesn't feel right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a downer, sorry.
We'll have Lauren take us up. Lauren, what's your muggle moment?
So my muggle moment is that my dog is terrible. Just
I'm killing my dog.
I'm kicking my dog. I'm going to take my dog to the mountains and leave her there and drive away.
Nice. I fully approve.
You should drive her to Florida on your next Disney World trip and leave her in the Everglades.
That's...
We don't drive to Florida. We're not peasants, Camilla.
Flyer and cargo.
I'll just give a shout out to my kids who are awesome, who they chose to be a spooky ghost and the Grim Reaper for Halloween.
I love that.
And so they're carrying on the spooky thing. And I think they have that like element of drama in them that is essential to being accurate. Part of the Wizarding World. So
yeah.
Alex, what about you?
What about me? Oh, what's my muggle moment?
Alex, please tell me that yours is something about high-waisted pants.
It's exactly about high-waisted pants.
Whoa.
I walked in to work, to clock out, a different building in which I work, and I just used the bathroom before I went over there. I did a tinkle, if you must know.
I was about to ask. So good.
And I was wearing high-waisted jeans, as I always am. And with this particular set, for whatever reason, I always forget the zipper.
I like where this is going.
They're really stretchy, elastic-y high-waisted jeans. And I sat down on the couch to wait for the time clock. Oh no, don't listen to my bosses. They all know. They're there. I don't care. And I don't know if this happens to you, but if you leave your zipper down in high-waisted jeans, your whole gut just kind of spills out of the zipper hole. Guys?
Yeah.
I wear a belt.
I don't have a gut.
So my belt is done out. Done up. But my gut is just like... Because you're not going to see like my crotch or my underwear because I'm wearing high-waisted jeans. You'll just see like my belly button. And so, but it just looks disgusting. And I sat down and I looked and I was like, oh man. And I zipped up my zipper.
Oh.
And then everyone swarmed around me and was like, yeah, I saw it, but I didn't want to embarrass you.
And I was like I'm okay, not. But now you're okay coming over.
Right. What I said was, I'm not embarrassed, but I would like it to be up so you could just tell me.
It's more embarrassing that you let me walk around and see more people. Thank you.
Right. So my muggle moment is when you sit down when you haven't done up your elasticy high-waisted jeans zipper and your whole gut pops out of the hole.
And a tip for all of those muggles out there, if you see someone with their fly down, simply just go up to them and say, your fly's down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or your zipper's down.
Unless
whatever.
You hate that person, in which case say nothing.
I guess so. Yeah.
Which I assume is the situation here, right, Alex?
I just point at their crotch and slap my other hand, claw it at my face, and start screaming in a high pitch.
You know what I actually do? That classic dad joke, meaning literally our dad. Hey, Alex, are you afraid of heights?
Yes, very.
Oh, so's your zipper.
Oh, my. I say XYZ.
Are you guys sure that wasn't too heavy? Because I can talk about a gravity blanket. Oh my gosh, heavy gravity blanket.
No, I liked it.
I thought it was great. All right. So I just wanted to remind everyone before we signed off that we revamped, relaunched, and overhauled our Patreon page. And we have 3 upgrading patrons to thank.
Yes. A big, huge shout out to Camilla, whoever that may be. She sounds hot, but I would appreciate it if you wouldn't belittle my Patreon supporters.
Sorry, I apologize.
Camilla is an upgrading supporter on Patreon, and Joe and Audrey are also upgrading and they have been Patreon supporters since the beginning of the Patreon page. So big shout out and thank you.
Huge thank you to all three of you.
All three of you.
And we have more details about our quarterly gift coming up for this December that all of our Alchemist level patrons are going to get.
Yep. So along with the custom made mug that we promised you last week, that will also include a special piece of art that we had commissioned just for us. And we will show that to you guys later, but it's freaking awesome.
I have to say, I mean, I've seen it and it is jaw-dropping. It's amazing.
Yeah. And actually, the concept was Camilla's idea.
It was, but thank heavens that we found someone who executed it like they did, because perfectly. It is so perfect.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So this reward is for Alchemist level donors. And to qualify to get this, you just need to sign up at that level before the beginning of December.
Yep, before December 1st.
But if you're going to sign up at any of our levels, and you can check out our Patreon page to see all the details, you are eligible. Well, you will be getting a extra special bonus, which is a personalized postcard from Hogsmeade.
Yep, with an owl postmark. You'll mm-hmm. love it. And if you're a longtime supporter, you'll already have had one. This will be your second one. You'll get another one.
Yes.
Oh, will we really?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, will they really?
Camilla, are you being sarcastic? Like, oh, thanks. Or are you actually excited? Is it a thing?
No, I mean,
want?
Like, I'm super excited and I saved mine. So I'm excited to have another Aww. One.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, if you want more information about how to sign up as a Patreon supporter, you can go to
patreon.com/elixirofLifePod. That's ELIXIR of Life Pod. And while you're on that internet that all the kids are talking about, how about you just go over to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, follow us by searching at Elixir of Life Pod, and maybe you could rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode, so other people can find us. That'd be nice. And send us your emails about your Halloween traditions to elixiroflifepodcast@gmail.com. That's ELIXIR of Life Podcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us, Camilla, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you.
Of course. I tried to say that as creepily as possible.
You nailed it.
It's Halloween.
Woo. Spooky
All right.
time.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Boo.